What the fuck is up? Welcome back. My name is Noah Hills. You can find me on Twitter at Noah More Parties. You can find my written work at noahmoreparties.com. And I am, number one, I'm back from New York City. Had a good time, but now I'm back like I never left. And it really is like I never left, because here I am making a video about four running backs who are going outside of the top 65 running backs in underdog best ball drafts right now. But these are the four handcuff running backs who I think are undervalued, like the best values in underdog drafts right now among handcuff running backs. Let's get into it. The first guy is Izzy Abanikanda. He's currently going as the RB69 on underdog. And Breece Hall is not participating at OTAs. Last season, after the Breece Hall injury, there were four running backs on the Jets last year who received at least 10 touches at some point in a game after Breece Hall went down. And there were 12 different individual instances of one of those guys getting at least 10 touches. And like, they were trying to plug all sorts of guys into like the lead role in their backfield, and it didn't really work out for any of them because none of those guys are really it. Like, Michael Carter had 14, 13, 10 touches those first 3 weeks. He was down to like 5, 7, 4, and 6 by the end of the season. Like, his role got scaled back significantly. He also wasn't very good last year, like, as a rusher at all. 84% box-adjusted efficiency rating, negative 8% relative success rate. So he was incredibly inefficient, incredibly inconsistent on a down-to-down basis relative to what the other guys in this offense were producing on a per-carry basis. James Robinson ended up in New York after the Jags let him go, or they, I don't remember if they traded him, cut him, whatever. But they moved on. He ended up in, you know, with the Jets. He had 6 touches, 15 touches, 7 touches. By the end of the season, he was not playing. Like, he was not seeing the field. Also wasn't very efficient on a per-carry basis. Ty Johnson got 13 carries in week 6, or 13 touches in week 16, excuse me. He was pretty efficient, 130% box-adjusted efficiency rating, 12% relative success rate, both really nice numbers, but he's been in the league for several years now, and is just kind of what he is. He's a depth piece in a backfield. And then Zonovan Knight, Bam Knight, was pretty decent last year, like just under 100% box-adjusted efficiency rating, 17, 20, 19, 13 touches in a 4-game stretch. They tried to plug him in. This coaching staff is willing to give work to a single guy, but none of those guys are really it. I'm not sure that Abanikanda is it either, but if Breece Hall's not ready to go at the beginning of the season, I don't see why Abanikanda wouldn't get the same shot early on that those guys got and didn't do much with last season. And he's currently cheaper on underdog than Michael Carter is. Like, Michael Carter is not a very good runner, at least in the NFL. Lost his job last season to a collection of running backs that's not that good. Like, I don't see why we would view him as the next man up behind Breece Hall. Abanikanda seems like the guy who will get that shot to me, and seems like the guy who we should take shots on, given the upside that his, you know, speed and size and college production gives him over guys that we've already seen just kind of be dudes in the NFL. So Abanikanda is a nice value, I believe, at RB69. The next guy is Keyonte Ingram, who's being selected as the RB73 right now. I love James Conner this season in particular. I think he's set up to be productive, and he's relatively cheap in drafts right now. But he's also a 28-year-old running back who sprained his ankle, his rib, his shin, and his knee at various points in last season and missed 4 games last year, and is currently being drafted as the RB27 on underdog. Like, people are not expecting much from James Conner. I'm expecting a little bit more, but the wisdom of the crowd says that this is a guy we shouldn't expect to be that good this year. Eno Benjamin was his main backup last season. He's gone. Corey Clement is still on the team. We know he's just a depth piece. Keyonte Ingram was bad last season. Like, that's, I will not argue to the contrary. Like, he was bad last season. He was a good college player. I think he was a good prospect. He's got what I believe is like a 3-down Jag plus skill set. Like, he can do a little bit of everything on the field. He's not an elite talent, but he's one of these guys who I think you could plug and play in an NFL backfield. He profiles kind of similarly to the kind of guy that James Conner has been, maybe, you know, like a poor man's version, but he's a similar style of player. Conner is not going to play 17 games. I don't like to make like just really direct predictions very often, but I don't, It seems unlikely that a guy like Connor, a physical runner, 28 years old, injuries recently, missed games, like, he can be productive in the games he plays, and I think he will be, but I also don't think he's going to stay healthy for a whole season. Most running backs do not, and if there's a handcuff here, it seems like it has to be Keontae Ingram, who's currently being drafted after Clyde Edwards-Helaire, after three Vikings backup running backs, three of them, and after Cordarrelle Patterson, who's now a part-time running back, wide receiver, third-string guy in the backfield behind the best running back prospect we've seen since Saquon Barkley and a guy who ran for 1,000 yards as a rookie. Like, why is Keontae Ingram going after those guys? There's nobody else to carry the load here in Arizona if and when James Conner goes down. It's not going to be Corey Clement. He's going to play a little bit. But, like, Keontae Ingram should get another shot to be the handcuff here. He wasn't good last season, but that was on limited work. I would imagine that he'll get another shot whenever that happens. I like him at RB73. The next guy I want to talk about is Travion Williams. He's currently going in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
As the RB76, everyone assumes that Chase Brown is the handcuff behind Joe Mixon. I'm not completely sure why we're assuming that. That certainly could happen. I'm not saying that Chase Brown is definitely not the guy. But the disparity in ADP, I think, reflects a certainty in Chase Brown over Travion Williams that isn't necessarily deserved. Chase Brown and Travion Williams were... Well, Chase Brown right now is going at RB54, so that's like a 22 running back split between where Chase Brown's going and between where Travion Williams is going. That's way too big. Chase Brown and Travion Williams were similar prospects in quality. They're both a little bit undersized, decent athletes, decent pass catchers, productive, efficient college runners. Travion Williams, though, was a three-year declare. Chase Brown is a fifth-year guy who transferred from a non-Power 5 school after Travion Williams was dominant in the SEC from year one. He was a better prospect, I think, than Chase Brown was by a little bit. Like, similar styles, Travion was just a little bit better. And Williams, like, he hasn't been a bad player in limited work in the NFL. Like, he hasn't done a lot because they've had Joe Mixon, they've had Giovanni Bernard, they've had Samaje Perine. But he was 92nd percentile in relative success rate on limited work in 2021, 89th percentile box-adjusted efficiency rating, 79th percentile relative success rate, both in 2020. He has 55 career touches, and they re-signed him to a one-year deal after his contract expired this offseason anyway. Like, they made a concerted effort to bring Travion Williams back here for a reason. The coaches have been talking him up this offseason. Zach Taylor said, "I feel like he's improved every single year that he's been here, and that's why we brought him back for an opportunity for more growth now that Samaje is gone." The Mixon handcuff is no longer Giovanni Bernard. It's no longer Samaje Perine. It's either Chase Brown or Travion Williams. We've seen Travion Williams, A, impress his NFL coaches enough that they speak highly of him. They want to bring him back. And we've seen him deliver objectively impressive on-field results in the limited time that we've seen him on the field. He just hasn't had expanded opportunities because the other guys in the backfields he's been on have been talented. I'm not positive that Travion Williams is better than Chase Brown, but I'm definitely not positive that Chase Brown is better than Travion Williams the way that the community at large seems to view him. The disparity between these ADPs is simply too big for the possibility that Travion Williams is actually the handcuff here and not Chase Brown. He's a nice value at RB76. And the last guy I want to talk about, just real quick, Eric Gray at RB78 feels egregious. I went through the entire NFL, I noted every running back currently under contract for an NFL team, whether that's a futures contract, a UDFA deal, a legitimate like NFL practice squad, whatever it was, every running back in the NFL, and I identified 27 guys who feel to me like handcuffs. Not every situation has a clear handcuff, but I identified 27 guys who, if the starter went down, I feel like this guy would be the presumed RB2 in like a clear handcuff type situation. Out of those 27 guys, Eric Gray is being drafted 26th of 27. And the main competition for him in this backfield, beyond Saquon Barkley, is Matt Breida and Gary Brightwell. Matt Breida is just kind of what he is. He's a pure two-down runner. He's a small guy who gets hurt a lot. He's now old. And Gary Brightwell is like the definition of a jag. He's just a dude. And Eric Gray is a competent three-down player who is productive and efficient in the SEC, productive and efficient at Oklahoma. He catches passes. He's decently athletic. He's not very big, but he's one of these Travion Williams, Chase Brown type guys who can be a utility player in a backfield and can play on all three downs if a guy like Saquon Barkley goes down. I don't think that's true of Gary Brightwell. I don't think that's true of Matt Breida. I wouldn't expect Eric Gray to get some sort of 80% opportunity share if Saquon Barkley went down, but he feels like a clear handcuff to me being drafted as like nearly the worst pure handcuff in the league. And I don't think his talent indicates that he's the worst pure handcuff in the league by a long stretch. We don't know if he's going to be good in the NFL, but he's a good player. He was a good prospect, deserving of far more than RB78. So there you have it. Eric Gray, Travion Williams, Keontae Ingram, Izzy Abanikanda, dudes who are dirt cheap right now, but have upside, at maybe some sneaky upside, maybe not so much with Breece Hall, Connor being old. Like, the guys on these backfield, you know, the leaders of these backfields are not invincible players here. Like, Breece Hall is coming off an injury. James Connor's coming off his own injuries. These guys could, you know, see legitimate touches early on in the season, and they're dirt cheap right now in underdog drafts. Thanks for watching. Hit like, hit subscribe. This will be my last video for about a month. This comes out, I believe, on the 31st, and I'm taking June off. I've got like a week-long vacation planned, going to Yellowstone. I'm also studying for the LSAT, so I can apply to law school at some point in the near future. So I'm taking the month off. I'll still be writing. The subscription nature of my website dictates that I don't stop writing. So I will be writing, but won't be making videos for the next month. See you in July. Have a great start to your summer. Peace.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.